quest for gold. We are 84 days out until the Summer Olympics in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. As the NBA playoff season rolls on, Team USA's 5-on-5 basketball manager, Grant Hill, has been passing out the Team USA jerseys to the 12 members of the team, including Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. In fact, a lot of the uniforms and outfits for Team USA were revealed this week by Ralph Lauren, Nike, Jay Lindeberg, and North Face. Delta also unveiled its Team USA plane, which will bring athletes to the games. The A350 aircraft was custom made in France and features the Team USA emblem and several American flags. Delta is the official airline of Team USA through the Los Angeles Games. President Joe Biden has awarded U.S. swimming phenom Katie Ledecky with a Medal of Freedom. Ledecky has won 7 gold medals during her career and hopes to add to that in Paris. U.S. fencing has added 5 more names to its Olympic roster, completing the 20-member team, which will be headed to Paris this summer. French officials inaugurated a new massive water storage basin designed to clean up the River Seine before marathon swimming is held there this summer. A previous trial event was canceled due to poor water quality, but officials believe everything will be safe by the time the summer games roll around. IOC President Thomas Bach announced the 36 athletes from 11 countries will be competing as members of the refugee team in Paris. They were picked from more than 70 scholarships. The athletes will compete not under the Olympic flag, but their own flag, symbolizing how lost refugees can find their way back. This team includes athletes from Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Iran, and Venezuela. Speaking of the IOC, the organizing committee announced it has full confidence Paris officials will be able to keep the game safe, despite growing demonstrations from pro-Palestinian groups and labor groups in the city in recent weeks. Pro-Palestinian groups have been calling for France to limit Israel's participation in the upcoming games. Ukraine's National Olympic Committee has reportedly warned its athletes to avoid Russian and Belarusian athletes at the Paris Games to prevent any potential conflict. Russian athletes will not be competing under the nation's flag again this summer, this time over the invasion of Ukraine. This week in our Quest for Gold Athlete Spotlight, we talked to longtime U.S. women's soccer standout Crystal Dunn. She played with the team for over a decade, won a World Cup, but the Olympic gold has been elusive. I had a chance to chat with her during a roundtable discussion with a few other reporters. She's got Paris ties, and she's waiting for the big coaching change to happen in a matter of weeks. Also, she was asked about how she handles childcare when competing internationally, like for the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone has their own thoughts and ideas of how they want to raise their child. My husband and I learned very early that we needed kind of like a live-in nanny. So we were really fortunate to have someone who was kind of like on call at all times. And so both clubs that I've been able to play for, Gotham currently, but formerly Portland, were able to accommodate my nanny on away trips. That's flight payments and hotel and obviously food, same food as me. And so that's been really incredible because that really takes a load off. You know, as a parent, you're just kind of like, you know that this is your responsibility, but when you're an athlete, it's like, I want to be able to be at my best, but also be able to take care of my family as well. And so I think, you know, where the game has grown, it's like, yeah, women should feel more comfortable being able to pursue both parenting and also pursuing their career. So I think it's actually really in a great place. And I would love to see that across the board. Like, I named two teams that obviously have supported me in my journey. I can't speak for the other clubs in the NWSL right now, but my belief is that they are also going to be accommodating any moms in the league.
But as far as U.S. soccer, like when you're with the national team, mm-hmm. what I was talking about, like, is it the same standard that you received from?
Yeah, same standard. Same standard. When I just let them know ahead of time if I am going to bring my child into camp, and they ask me what do I need, who am I bringing, who's my child care provider, and it's been really easy, I will say.
Will you bring him to Paris?
I will, but not with me. He will be with the friends and family, with my husband probably as well.
Do you have any concerns? I mean, there's a lot of talk about security at these Olympics. You know, it has the potential to be kind of an intense feeling around it. Do you have concerns bringing up your baby along?
No, my husband's French, so I feel very comfortable at least going to Paris, obviously, with my son and him. But I think there's always going to be concerns, obviously, but I truly believe that for the U.S., I can't speak for other federations, but we set up a really great friends and family program where it's really easy for people who are trying to support us and our fans. You know, as a player, you can only imagine when your parents are coming in to a major tournament to support you. They want to see you. They want to, like, plan things. But you're like, I'm here to play soccer. I cannot actually show you around. I can't do all these things. So U.S. Soccer has actually, in the past, done a really good job of, like, setting these programs up where, like, we're hands off. We're hands free. And it's really great. So my son gets to be a part of that and travel around to the games. And it's set up to be really accommodating for everybody.
How much family connection to France now with your husband?
Oh yeah, my son speaks French, and I don't really know what he's saying all the time. So I'm now, you know, at a disadvantage. But yeah, no, it's I have a French connection now. It's been really great. My French is coming along, so maybe I can help some people order some coffees. And don't ask me to do anything past that. But
feel like an extra special layer, just or for your husband's sake.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. When we were in the 2019 World Cup in France, it was really special to be able to have my husband's family be able to be there. I told him, you cannot be putting on that French jersey, though. Don't embarrass me. So that was really fun. But yeah, potentially going back to Paris, it would be an incredible moment to be able to share with my new family, who is French.
Can you talk about the difference between that compared to Tokyo when you guys were locked down and movement was very restricted? This is going to be a much different Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine how incredibly hard it was for all athletes. I know for us, like, not having the fans there was hard. You know, fans are a massive part of our program and our support system, and I think, you know, playing a game that you can hear every sound because it's so quiet, it doesn't feel the same, you know. So I think the Tokyo Olympics, happy that it was able to be put on, but at the same time I know that it was not the easiest for athletes to really just get that true experience of playing in an Olympics.
Crystal, how much pressure do you guys feel, considering, you know, it's been a while since this team has won a gold medal? That used to be kind of the thing. You always won the gold medals.
Yeah.
And after last year's World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, there's always pressure. I've been on the national team for 12, 13 years now. I'm like, I don't remember one day that I didn't feel pressure representing this team. And that's when we were winning, and that's when we didn't walk away with, you know, a gold medal. I think the pressure is always going to be there. That comes with you just being, you know, on an excellent team that demands excellence. And I think the growth of the game is incredible. You know, I think I can sit here and say that I want the women's national team to always dominate, always win games 7-0 and be able to, you know, walk away unscathed from games. But I think at the same time, like, we also have to sit here and appreciate how far the women's game has come. So I feel like in one side, people want us to be upset that we're not winning games by the amount of goals that fans expect us to. But I'm like, but let's celebrate where the women's game is. Like, we're playing Zambia for the first game in the Olympics. How incredible for them to be in now two back-to-back major tournaments, you know? And I think that that's incredible. You know, that doesn't change our outlook on what we're setting out. You know, we expect to compete in the Olympics and walk away with a gold medal, but it's not going to be easy, and it shouldn't be, because that just proves that the growth of the game is in a really great place, and we should be celebrating that as well.
Do you have any international travel tips that you would share for Americans who are traveling to the games?
Travel light, I would say just really, you know, I mean, people always end up buying trinkets and things like that, so I feel like, you know, travel light. I think France is a pretty easy country to be able to bop around to. It's actually really nice that you can hop on the train. You probably don't have to take many flights, I would say. So I think, you know, traveling and bringing the necessities is probably top. And then also make a little space for any little trinkets that you want to take along the way.
You played all six matches in Tokyo. Can you talk about your recovery personally and, like, what you do in between the matches to fully recover and feel yourself 100% for the next match?
Yeah, the schedule for the Olympics is different than a World Cup. It's back-to-back games. It's a small roster. You know, there's ice baths that people jump into against our will. Sometimes I feel like I'm like, I don't want to get in there. But U.S. Soccer has done a really good job of always providing us resources. Anything that players really ask and feel like we need, they've really accommodated. There's so many recovery tools. It's, you know, there's machines now that, like, literally a massage your body almost. It's like the technology now is actually is crazy. But I think just the staff that we were able to bring, massage therapists, athletic trainers, that is something that I obviously have really appreciated, and I really hope that other federations have invested in those resources as well, because I really do think that that makes or breaks how you recover from one game to another.
Like, what are your top
Oh man, obviously, you know, game days, it's like carbs, man. You need your carbs. The game is crazy. It demands a lot. And then post-game, I mean, I'd like to believe that every player kind of, you know, you want to eat healthy, but that's sometimes a day where you can treat yourself a little bit. Like, you know, you can steal a French fry here and there, you know? But, yeah, like, everyone, you know, what's really incredible is that, you know, everyone's different. You know, no one looks over at people's plates like, oh, you're eating that again. Like, what are you doing? You know, but I think we do have our expectation of, you know, being a professional, and that is a high standard to set. But I think it's also great that everyone can kind of look after themselves and not have to be handheld.
You spoke about the growth of the game and other people catching up. I wonder if you could talk about just being in this moment right now where there's like a boom in just women athletics. You have the WNBA draft about to be open in Brooklyn tonight, and you guys have always done well, and the women's basketball team has always done well. Can you talk about you being an athlete in this moment where there's the world is watching it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, women's sports is booming, and I think if you're a female athlete, you're not surprised. I mean, for us, we're sitting back and we're kind of like, yeah, we've been telling y'all to invest in the women's games, you know? But it's an exciting time, and it's not just a moment. Like, it's here to stay. And I think where the women's game, not just in soccer, but as a whole, is going is that you're seeing the investment behind it. You're seeing people who have left the game who actually are giving back. You know, I think for Gotham FC, like, you know, we have Eli Manning, Sue Bird, we have Kevin Durant, who are investors in this, in our club. And I think it's interesting to see now that people in their own sports are understanding that, okay, we're not going to sit here and wait for people to do it. Like, I'm going to be the person that does it, you know? And I think there's many of us who feel, not obligated, but it's like when we leave the game, we know that we want to help push it and make it better than when we found it. And I think that that's the biggest thing, is that investment. And an investment from people that know the grind and know how important that investment is making the biggest difference, I think.
Yeah. Crystal, you guys... you played a lot of games in the United States. Mm-hmm. You had an international tournament, Gold Cup. He was in the United States. She believes about the United States. Now you're going to a tournament where you're going to be having a lot of partisan crowds on your side. Do you understand the economics of that, but do you kind of wish for your preparation that you were playing games in Europe when you had a chance?
Honestly, our fans travel well, which is a really great thing. I mean, when I played in the 2019 World Cup, like, we played against France in Paris, and I felt like it was almost split 50-50, like, which I think is incredible. And I think our fans truly believe and understand how important they are to us. I think that's when I spoke about, you know, Tokyo. It's like, it just felt different. It's like, you couldn't really, you could bring the energy you could bring on the field as players, but it's like looking up and not seeing that energy from the atmosphere, it's hard. And so I, you know, hope, knock on wood, that, you know, people find that traveling to Paris isn't that hard. I mean, now me being in New York, I'm like, it's a little hop, skip, and a jump kind of across the pond. I'm hoping that we really bring that fan base over to Paris, because I think it makes the biggest difference. But I think for us, we always try to replicate major tournaments. And yes, I would have loved for us to be able to go overseas at least one time before playing in the Olympics. But sometimes that's not how it works, and that's okay. I think we're going to be prepared. We just came off of a Gold Cup win, a She Believes tournament win. And I think we are prepared for now what playing in a tournament entails, and now just, you know, the final piece is us being not playing in a domestic atmosphere, but that's going to be okay.
Crystal, are you actively learning French right now? Like, what does that look like, and what's your level?
I mean, what it looks like is, like, it's struggle. Just imagine me struggling on a daily basis. My husband's French, my nanny's French, my son is half French, but more French than me now, so it's, like, kind of annoying. But, no, my household, they're speaking French, and I'm at the dinner table. I'm just like, you know?
Are you on, like, Duolingo or, like, taking lessons?
I was. I'm a little more advanced than, you know, what Duolingo was giving me. Duolingo kept telling me, like, oh, I'm an apple. And I'm like, that's not going to help me when I get dropped off in France. Like, I need more, you know? But my French is coming along. It's one of those things where it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it. I think when you're learning something new, regardless, like, it feels uncomfortable, but you just got to, like, dive in. My husband's always like, you understand it, you just got to say something. You got to, like, put yourself out there. And I, but my son speaks French, and I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I can't even take care of my own son now, because I'm like, you know, so far gone. But no, it's been an amazing experience, and I feel like I've had 7 years of a head start on my kid, and he's already surpassing me, and I'm like kind of bummed about it. But French is a hard language. I don't know. Does anyone here speak a different language? Très difficile. Très difficile. Just like, it sounds like one word when you're speaking and listening. So listen, I'm going to be okay. I can order some coffee. I can order food. I get a baguette or le croissant. So we'll see.
You know, you mentioned over in the other session about how this is different. This is not just soccer. You're one of many other sports at this event. If you're able to take a day and you're like, I get to go away from my team or take a couple teammates and I'm going to go to a different sport, is there one event or one thing that would be the, you know, what you want to experience?
Man, I think I'd be a mean tennis player. I'm just saying, Serena and Venus, I'm like, listen, I could have been one of their partners for doubles, you know, I'm just saying. But I used to go to like tennis camps. I mean, soccer at a young age did take over a lot of my life, so I didn't kind of grow up playing multiple sports as I've probably wanted to do. But I'm a big fan of tennis. Serena Williams is someone I like watched well before I even watched soccer players, you know, and I think that that speaks to one, just her impact on my life, but and many others. I think watching her, I didn't even care that she played tennis and I played soccer. I was like, I want to dominate my sport just like how you did. And so, yeah, if I could, you know, step into another sport, I think it'd be tennis. Safe to say basketball would be out of the question. You know, there's a little thing called just being short, too short for it. So, yes, but yeah, I think tennis.
Do you have a favorite Olympic memory from the field from your past couple games?
Oof. I mean, as you all know, my run with the Olympics hasn't been always the best. In Rio, we didn't even place in a medal. And then Tokyo, we won bronze. And honestly, to be fair, I'm sitting here saying that, like, winning a medal is really special. And as much as people are like, well, it's not gold, I'm like, in my head, it's rose gold. Like, you know, in my head, it's rose gold. I'm still going to celebrate winning a bronze medal because, like, it is really special and it's really hard to win a medal at the Olympics. So, like, I truly still feel just grateful for that opportunity and that moment. And I think my best moment after Tokyo was just, like, the team really celebrating ourselves, you know? I think, like, you know, outside looking in, it was like, oh, what a failure the U.S. didn't win. But, like, to me, I'm like, all right, like, yeah, it's the people who, like, obviously don't know the ins and outs. They don't know the struggle. They don't know the challenges that we went through, the challenges that we overcame in the tournament. But, you know, once we won that bronze medal game, like, the team really just got together and we just reminisced on the tournament. We talked about the wildness of it. And then we just, you know, we hung out. And I think I will always hold those memories because that sometimes is what you remember most. You don't even remember standing on the podium and waving and smiling. I think you remember like those small moments with your teammates after.
Are you anxious for the coaching transition to happen? I mean, are you guys all kind of anxious to, is that the last piece of the puzzle heading into the Olympics?
I mean,
you guys in a pretty good place right now?
I mean, you can argue it's the last piece because she, you know, she's the one making the roster in the end, you know? So it's like, you know, as much as I'm sitting here saying like, oh, I can't wait to go to Paris, I'm like, I need to book my ticket to Paris, you know? And, you know, Emma coming in, obviously, you know, we would have loved to have her earlier, everybody knows, but we also know, I mean, I know especially like she's given a lot to Chelsea, and for her to be able to, you know, end her time with Chelsea in the way that she wants to, we fully supported, and we had the staff in place to be able to manage the moments while she wasn't there. But I wouldn't say it's anxiety that we're feeling. I think it's more so just like we're ready. Like we're ready to like have that FaceTime with her, because it's hard to ask interim coaches things that you know, any questions, because you know, ultimately they're not the ones making all the decisions. So it's like, you know, we're just waiting for that gap to be closed and for us to be able to have that FaceTime with the coach.
Thank you, Crystal. You can follow her on Instagram at CDunn19. She mentioned they're playing Zambia in the first round of the Olympics, but that may not happen. Zambia's team is now facing a possible FIFA suspension over rule breaking by its federation. Well, that'll do it for this week's Quest for Gold. We've got a lot of qualifying coming up and more athletes to spotlight. So check us out weekly on Quest for Gold at WGNRadio.com or wherever you find your podcasts. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you here next week.